coming live from the inside of a camera as I have shrunk myself for an opening gag but now can't find a way to escape without damaging all the fragile technology I don't understand. This is Talking Hollywood, and I'm your usually corporeal host, Daniel... How do you pronounce this? Oh, Eulenberg. Sad news this week, listeners. This is going to be our last show of the semester, and therefore it will be our last Pierce College News Corner. The animals are almost finished piecing together the large rock structure in the quad. It's huge and shaped like some sort of quadrupedal animal. Some have assumed it to be a sort of golem, but it hasn't come to life yet, so nothing can be confirmed. Thursday marks the opening of the Weeping Nook in the library's third floor, where we can all go to cry about our responsibilities. There will be Gatorade to help with the inevitable dehydration, and I know I'll be there. Congratulations to Pierce's own Julie Fyodorovich, Pierce's own national high jump champion. She took home the gold last week from the track and field championship as she entered orbit and hasn't been seen since. Congratulations, Julie, wherever you are. We have a special guest today. His name is Christian Chiok, Captain Anson on Instagram. That is CaptainAnson, one word. He's a Pierce student cinematographer who is also applied to the film school at USC, which is, I don't know, if you're in the know, a film school in Los Angeles that you may be familiar with. And he's the one person who I would say is going to get in because I've seen his work and he's my favorite. Christian actually won the Skills USA state competition last year with his cinematographic prowess and has been a frightening, tornadic force to be reckoned with ever since. Christian, how you doing?
I'm doing great, man. How are you?
I'm getting by.
Getting by. You do great work too. I've seen you.
Oh, no. I sleep all day and then I cry all night. I heard that you didn't have much breakfast, so I don't know how well you could be doing.
I'm actually okay. Like I typically do this in the morning. I feel fine. I'm amazing.
And that is the breakfast report. So Chris, how'd you get into film?
How I got into film? Well, when I was younger, my dad used to let me play with cameras, and it was kind of his hobby. His work away from work, like his stuff that he loved to play with. And I just started taking photos. And I didn't think of it that it would be kind of anything at that time. And I would just take photos over and over. And I don't know, it got boring after a while. And I just wanted to find something that was a little more than just photography. And so I got into doing videography. I started doing volunteering at my church. I started doing live broadcast services. And it just, like, amazed me, like, what you can do with a moving picture and how you can edit it through Premiere and all these other equipment.
It actually surprised me to find out that the term moving picture is something of a misnomer. It's actually a bunch of pictures that are slightly different in rapid consecutive order.
Yes, I'm sorry. Yes, exactly.
You should be sorry. This is a professional show. I can't have you misleading my listeners. Anyway, what does your dad do? Is he in the field or...?
My dad is actually, no, he is not. He actually deals with financing. And so it was sort of like his way. We would go on road trips, and he just wanted to, like, he just needed to be away from the computer, like, at some point. And so it was, like, his way of, like, just cope, like, just, it was his home, like, sort of like a, I don't know how to explain it, like,
You better figure it out.
It was just something that he would do as, like, on his break time, and it was just something that he just continued to do. And he wanted me to have, like, sort of find my own passion, and I kind of, like, through that I sort of found my passion, like, to get into cinematography. And,
wait,
like,
father, this is it. This is the thing. You sure you don't want to do finance? No, dad. And then you threw down the finance thing.
Well, sort of. He wanted me to find, like, my own path. And so he didn't force me to do anything. He showed me. So he sort of, in a way, he kind of planted the seed into, like, what I've grown into, what I've wanted to do, like, which is cinematography. I wanted to do motion graphics, just basically film in general.
Oh, cool. Yeah, no, I was creating a dramatization of what I assume your childhood to have been from that, like, 30-second clip. Yeah. So who influenced you? Like, of course, you know, it was your dad who kind of got you into cinematography. But, like, as far as the specifics go, like, stylistically, who do you draw most from?
Who do I draw most from? I would say most recently, I would say if you ever watch the show Stranger Things, I really enjoy the...
Stranger what?
Stranger Things.
I'm kidding, man. Of course I know Stranger
If you ever the cinematographer for Stranger Things, his name is Tim Ives, and I just love his style. He has for the show, even the directors loved him because he wanted to create sort of like an old school look to his film. And so he used he used a sort of like a flatter style picture that old cinematographers like used to use. And it just created this very classic but sharp image. Like when he would compose his shots, like everything would be vibrant, but at the same time toned down in a way, and just like soft colors. And it was just beautiful the way he composes shots. And so I try to like drive for that when I do my photography, when I do my videography or like music video shoots.
It's interesting. Well, one, I have seen, you know, the things that you shot, and there is a remarkable similarity between those two now that I think about it. As far as the Stranger Things cinematography goes, I was watching Behind Stranger Things on Netflix, mm-hmm. and all the footage of, like, you know, exteriors and the like were actually not filmed specifically for the show. They you know, filmed them back in the 70s, and then it was later repurposed for the show.
Really?
Yeah. Okay, it's a cinema fun fact.
I did not know that. That's interesting.
Yeah, they kind of accidentally fell upon them. Okay, so who do you work with? Do you mostly work with people that you already knew, or do you meet people specifically for working with them? Or
I've actually met a lot of people through working at my church. I'm their creative assistant. I interned for them recently, and I just really got along with them, and I made a lot of connections. And a lot of people who now currently work there are they're retired from working at Fox, ABC, some studios.
Well, and they all kind of congregate at the church?
Kind of in a way, because we've been our church has been around for a while, and so like. They kind of just knew each other, and so when they retired, they just kind of wanted, I guess they really enjoyed what they did, so they wanted to find a way to like keep doing it, but not as stressful, I guess.
Would you recommend? Would you recommend that I convert to Christianity so that I can join a network?
I would like love you to, but that wouldn't be my main reason. I don't think that should be your reason to.
It seems a little self-serving. It does.
Yeah,
I'll admit that. You've also met people here at Pierce College.
I have, yes. I met many people, including you, who is
me?
Exactly. Yeah, you.
Oh, that's right. I go here.
Terrific. Yeah, you're also very terrific. Like I've seen your sweet work. Also, you. Do terrific like voice acting. It's amazing.
Oh, well, thank you, but it's not about me this week.
Thank you. Yes. Well, yeah, I've met some other great, lots of great people. Shout outs to Deshaun Kavanaugh. He's one of my friends. He's actually helped produce one of the music videos that I'm working on right now.
Oh, wait, what is it?
It's called, the music video is called Hold On. It's by one of our friends, DeJuan Smith, who's also I was also introduced to him by Deshaun. He's a great music artist. He does R&B. He also has an open Crave night. I mean, I'm sorry, open mic night at a Crave Cafe at 7 o'clock.
If anybody can ever get into Crave, the line goes to my house, and I don't live in the same city. But yeah, DeJuan.
Yes, DeJuan Smith. Yes.
I feel like I've heard that name before.
He's I guess so. You could say he's starting to rise. And
you know, I will say he's starting to rise. DeJuan Smith, Starting to Rise. New single coming out this Thursday. So, Deshaun, you guys have been working together for about as long as I've known you.
Yeah, it hasn't been too long, but we just work really well together, to be honest with you.
How? Like, how do you guys compliment each other?
I don't know. It's just like when you travel with somebody, I don't know if you ever, have you ever traveled with anybody before?
I've never left this booth.
Well, yeah, okay. But obviously you've been places, you've been to like, you've traveled with people, or you've taken that, come on, it's California.
Yeah, no, not to brag, but I've been home and back every day when I go to school.
Definitely. Yeah, but when you travel with people, it really tests your relationship. And when Deshaun and I, when we traveled together to do this this competition, the state competition. It was like something like we've only known each other for like a couple months, and it was something that like we had like a lot of arguments, but we worked together really well when it came to the competition, and that's how we kind of knew that we would eventually like become great partners when we worked together on films and other projects.
Yeah, and I was thinking about bringing you on, and I was like, you know what, I should bring Christian on. And I thought, no, I'm just going to argue with him the whole time. I hate Christian.
Oh, wow. Thank you.
You're welcome. Speaking of the skills competition, what was that like?
What was it like? I really enjoyed it. It was a great experience.
Well, start me out like in the beginning, like in like that first competitive level where everybody in the state is at each other's throats to prove themselves.
Well, I won't lie, it was very difficult. Like, and the competition itself, I don't want to say they were disorganized, but I guess that was partially because they didn't realize how many people were going to be there.
And you can say they're disorganized. We're all fine.
All right. Well, I don't want to be too mean, but like I don't know what it's like to run a competition, so that's something I cannot judge. So, but anyway, yeah, it was stressful, but it was a good experience. We basically our main task in the competition was we had to come up with a commercial, basically to advertise this hotel. And we only had about 12 hours to do it. And so Deshaun and I, we spent like probably, it took us a while. It took us probably about 5 hours. So we stayed up like almost the entire night just to figure out like what we're going to do, planning out what we're going to shoot, how we're going to shoot it. How long is this even going to take? Are we even going to be able to make it? And in the end, like, we came really close, but we made it. And I think what came out of it was pretty good, considering.
Well, yeah, and yeah. Apparently you weren't the only person who thought that because it was picked to go to Nationals?
Yes, it was. Yeah, we did. It was picked to go to Nationals.
How did you feel when you found that out?
It was something that was just... I'm gonna believe it. It was sort of like an emotional roller coaster because it was just something that we were just so stressed out about because 12 hours is not a lot to produce a commercial. And the stuff that we put into it was I still can't believe that we actually like pulled it off. And to actually see that the judges, the looks on their faces, and they really expressed that to us how much they enjoyed our content was just It was just something that was amazing.
What was the biggest hang-up when you were filming it?
One of the biggest hang-ups? I would say shooting location because, one, the hotel, they were nice, but they didn't give us the full amount of freedom that we wished to have.
It's the hotels, man.
Yeah, I was like, why are we filming here? Like, and the weird thing was we weren't allowed to film outside the hotel, which really like bugged me in a way. And so it was just, yeah, just shooting like, but this is a reoccurring problem that a lot of like filmmakers or like old and new will figure out. Even now, like I work for my church and whenever we shoot on set, we always have to deal with people. We have to constantly tell them, hey, we're shooting on set here. We have to ask for permission a lot of the times. We have to tell people like, "Hey, you can't be here. We reserved this spot." And so it's just a lot of that, like, it's just a lot of outer problems that like come into it. And so I think that's what makes it just like the most difficult thing.
Logistical,
about it.
Yeah.
Logistical, yeah.
It really is usually people that cause. You know, actually, I was looking. I was in my history class a couple of days ago. And they give an interesting tidbit, which is all of the world's wars have been instigated by people.
That sounds about right. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Except for that one, you know.
Which one are you talking about?
Yeah, it was back there. Anyway.
Okay.
What about writing, directing, acting, producing? Have you done those kinds of things?
Writing. Recently, I have done some. Not. What do you mean specifically by writing?
Well, you creative part of the producing of the, the thing.
Like
I'm glad you got that because I don't even know what I said there.
Well, are you talking about like script writing as in, like, dialogue and stuff? Yeah. I've done some of that. Just for like I guess some comedy scripts. I helped out Deshaun because he also does these cool little comedy skits that he does on Instagram and on YouTube, which is they're actually pretty funny, and so I help him out a lot with that, some of that stuff, because sometimes like it's nice to have like a second person with you. Especially I've noticed that even when I'm doing like films, Deshaun also helps me out with like when we're on set filming. He's always reading through stuff and he's always over checking my work. So it's like it's kind of nice just to like have someone to like look over your shoulder and like check your work.
That is nice. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I've done some of that. Yeah. Right. I guess writing. Yeah.
That's actually why we have this crowd of strangers in the booth with us, so they can oversee my radio show. You know, just kind of the eyes piercing into the back of my neck. Actually, I haven't met that one before. That's interesting. Aside from cinematography and, you know, matters of the film, what do you do for fun?
For fun.
How do you enjoy yourself? Do you enjoy yourself?
I do enjoy myself. Lots of times to be honest, like, I try to, like, I'm sorry, I don't know if you know this, but I don't know if I told you the story, but I used to play saxophone in a marching band in high school. And
you haven't told me this. Please tell everybody this.
Okay. Yeah, and so, like, this is actually partially how I got into cinematography.
Well, then it's irrelevant, Christian.
Yeah, yes, exactly, yes. Thank you. I'm actually glad you asked this question, yes. And so I was in the marching band, and so I was really into music. And one of my friends, he was just, we were all good musicians, but he was just on the next level. And he
Which
wanted,
level?
Huh?
Which level?
I don't know, Super Saiyan? I don't know. He was just like...
That level?
He was like, he was like, I don't know, Yo-Yo Ma? I don't know, which you can... I don't know. George, I don't know.
My Ma isn't that good at music, so that's not much of a compliment.
Yo-Yo Ma is famous. Yes. Okay, but yeah. And so he really wanted to produce like a music video. And so I remember he, this one time, like he came up to me and he asked me if I knew anybody, and it was I don't know why he would ask me. I guess he just saw like some of my photos.
Christian, you're going to be really good at cinematography in the future when you pick it up.
Yeah, exactly. And then so at the time I wasn't into that. I was more into like dentistry, but that kind of
wait, what?
Yes, dentistry.
Hold on, like the last 30 seconds has been saxophone, dentistry, and screen and film. Okay, so this dentistry thing, take me to how.
Dentistry. So I remember I told you my dad, he worked in financing, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, and so he actually works in financing at this dental clinic.
Okay,
and
well, now everything makes sense.
Yes, now everything's. And so he thought he really wanted one of us. It was, his dream for one of his kids to become a dentist. Obviously, that wasn't me. And so we were just – and so I took this Dental Explorer program, and I really enjoyed it, but there was just something about it that I felt like it wasn't for me. I had the creative side, you could say, like, side of my brain, just like...
The creative side of dentistry.
Yeah. Whatever you want to call it, yeah. But I felt like I wasn't pulled towards doing dentistry, even though I really, like, no lie, I really enjoyed what I learned there. It was a great experience, but I just had this feeling that it wasn't for me.
Kind of makes you wonder how much these dentists are making if the guy who does the finances for the dentist is trying to convince his children to become dentists.
Yeah, definitely. But but my dad, I think that the reason why he also, like, I feel like, yeah, it's great financial security, but my dad also, he gave us, like, a lot of, me and my siblings, he gave us a lot of freedom to choose what he wants, because he knew at the end of the day, like, no matter how much money you make, it's all about, obviously, like, how do you feel about your work? Like, are you enjoying it? And, like, how do you feel about it? Like, my dad, he enjoys, like, he loves math, so I don't even know how he loves it, but he just loves financing. But
Wait, there's somebody who loves math?
I know, seriously, there's people like that. And I'm like, I don't enjoy it.
I have a question for you. I'm going to need... I need your... wait, no, what am I doing? No, stop it, Daniel. No, I'm so sorry. So, how did this become saxophone? Yeah, you went from dentistry to saxophone. Was it just...
Well, saxophone... Well, I told you, I was in the marching band, but that was sort of like my downtime. That was sort of like my... Something that I enjoyed to do, but it wasn't my passion, you say.
It's oh,
like
okay.
Yeah, it's sort of like a hobby. Like, I told you about my dad, how he did photography and stuff like that.
So you just happened to be a jack of all trades.
I wouldn't say that. I was good, but I wasn't, like, great at saxophone.
So when did you become this jack of all trades?
I'm telling you, I am not a jack of all trades.
Jack of all trades Christian Chiak here, if you're just tuning in with me. Okay, so I have this question, and I'm going to need your full commitment. And I need you to really trust me with this. I want you to close your eyes.
Okay.
Okay, so picture you are back in the in Pompeii. You know, it's with Mount Vesuvius. It hasn't erupted. It's like 1960 or whenever this happened. You know, everybody's kind of going about their daily business, you know, selling fruits at the fruit store and,
okay,
you know, the other things that they did.
Yeah.
And then you hear a rumbling from deep, deep underground. And, it starts on the far side and it starts going, like you hear it all the way run to Mount Vesuvius. And somebody behind you says, I think it's going to blow. But they say it in, you know, like Latin. Everybody begins to panic. And thankfully, he said that because, you know, it pieced together in your head. Close your eyes.
Oh, really? Okay.
Okay. And so you start running away from the island. And, you know, right as you start running, you hear a poof when you turn around and you see that it has exploded. Now, you are ahead of everybody. So you are the first one to whatever kind of boat I don't know anything about this time period, but you know, whatever.
I don't think it was 1960s.
It was probably the 70s. Cause that was when the Duffer Brothers, they filmed that. So you get to the boat and you just start rowing. It's you and your rucksack or again, whatever they had. And you know, everybody is getting covered in ash, and you are rowing away from that cloud of volcanic gas and dust and the pyroclastic flow.
Oh, dear.
And you escape it. However, you can't go back. You know, there's nothing there anymore. So you just row and you row and you row, and you run out of food. You know, you're running out. It's dwindling, and you see these sharks below you. And you snap your oar in half, and you impale a shark. And using your superhuman strength and desperation, you hoist it up onto the boat and consume its flesh like the gargantuan animal you feel that you are deep in your heart of hearts.
Dang, Danny, you trying to make a motion picture out of this?
Yes. You sustain yourself off of it for the next 3 weeks. And you're rowing, and your arms are sore, but you are bulking up, and you are huge. You are this humongous figure. You've started stabbing and eating sharks all over the place, and that protein has transformed you into this 7-foot-tall Hulk of a man. You speak with a deep baritone voice, and you have, like, muscles coming out of your eyeballs. You are a sight to behold and a horrific, horrific wonder, the beautiful paragon of humanity. Rowing ashore onto this desolate desert island, you exit your boat and you take your rucksack and you open it up, and inside there's one movie. Which movie do you hope that it is?
Oh my gosh. I didn't think they even had movies back then. Wasn't it like plays and stuff?
It was the 1970s, man. Don't be ridiculous.
Oh my god. What movie? I'd have to say... Okay, I know this is not exactly probably what you're going to think, but I would say... I would have to say Meet the Robinsons.
What?
Meet the Robinsons.
Well, no, I know what you said, but what?
Yeah. I know, it's like, it's surprising. Yeah, it's an animated film, but the reason why I really enjoyed that is, like, considering, like, the story that you just told me, like, obviously Pompeii was destroyed, and so all of civilization was...
No, forget the story.
Oh, okay, yeah. But
this is a personal preference thing. Although I will say Rob Thomas's Little Wonders was... fantastic
musical piece. Yes, it was, yeah. I just, to me, like, I feel like it's a very underrated animated film because it just taught, like, so much. Like, it's taught such a great lesson. And, I've always keep that saying, keep moving forward by Walt Disney. Like, I always keep that in the back of my head whenever I'm, like, on set or I'm doing stuff. And to me, it's sort of, like, in a way, become, like, a memory verse that I keep, obviously.
It's interesting that a cinematographer would pick an animated film.
Yeah, I would. Because, like, I feel like I love films, but I feel like the plot and the context of the story is also very important. And I feel like this film, there'll always be like a chance to like film something. But
we're being filmed.
Yeah, exactly. But
that's intrusive.
Yeah, but yeah, I think the film is just like it's something. It's just hold like it's just something that I feel like is very underrated, and it's a great film. It's a great film that even though it's not a cinematic piece, it's an animated piece. It has a great lesson and great context in the story
with a very promising future. Speaking of promising futures, this has been Christian Anson joining me on Talking Hollywood. I have been your host.
Thank you for having me.
Of course, please. I've been your host for the past 7 episodes, Daniel Uhlenberg. It's been great talking to you all. This is KPC Radio, and I am signing off.